Well, we're going to bring things much more local now. We're speaking here in the Allstate Skyline studio to Ann Williams, Democratic State Representative from Chicago. Representative, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Good morning, Rick. Thanks for having me.
So you are the sponsor of what's known as the Clean Energy Jobs Act, and a legislation that's gotten bipartisan support, I think, dozens of sponsors in both sides of both chambers.
Yeah.
Give us the breakdown. What is this legislation?
Well, this bill is a very comprehensive and extensive policy which will move Illinois forward when it comes to clean energy and the development of renewable energy sources. The bill has about four, well, I'll call them pillars. First, there's a goal of reducing carbon from the power sector by 2030. Eliminating carbon from the power sector. By 2050, we're shooting for 100% renewable energy. We also provide for the electrification of the transportation sector, focusing on fleet vehicles, municipal pool vehicles, etc. And our goal is to reduce the equivalent of 1 million gas and diesel-powered vehicles from the road. And our final piece is all about equity. And this simply provides that communities who have been disproportionately impacted by pollution, by whether it's in the downstate areas, coal ash, etc., or in the more urban areas that have been impacted by industrial pollution. Those are the communities we want to ensure has a share as we move forward with this new, exciting green economy. We want to make sure all Illinoisans can play a part in it.
I think nationally, you know, when you look at the, you hear legislators talking about, you know, green, and the pushback that it's gotten, that the kind of the modernization of our energy supply is getting caught into partisan politics, where the evolution toward a green energy sector and the potential benefit of the jobs created with it get lost in the sidelines.
Absolutely. If you hear some of the rhetoric out of the Trump administration, that underscores your point. Some of the tangible actions that Trump has taken lately are really quite stunning and show a stunning disregard for the future of our planet. This includes everything from pulling out of the Paris Climate Accord to the recent scaling back of EPA criminal enforcement actions. We're at the lowest point that we've ever been in terms of EPA criminal enforcement for polluters. It's been more than 30 years since we've seen this low level of enforcement. If anything, we should be increasing our enforcement, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 fold. And, you know, there's a list of examples. You've, I'm sure, read articles about the danger that so many new species and the saltwater fish are facing. You know, I read these articles and I hope, you know, I look quickly at the source, see them on Facebook or something, and hope that it's some crazy blog with no basis in reality or science, but it's on being reported by NPR and CNN and MSNBC. This is real and it's happening, and it's happening faster than I think any of us anticipated.
So with this act, we talk about clean jobs, I mean, is part of it because of putting these mandates for changing over to the greener economy that the jobs follow?
Well, yes, and there's more than just mandates. We're just, you know, we're using
incentives. I'm sorry, Springfield mandates,
yeah,
a dirty word. I apologize.
There's, you know, I think it's a real mix. The bill's 500 pages. It's got a lot in there. But what we're talking about in terms of jobs is already happening in Illinois. A few years ago, you may recall, we passed the Future Energy Jobs Act, and that was a compilation of items that bolstered renewable energy development, as well as a number of other items pertaining to energy. It was supported by an array of energy producers as well as environmentalists. So we were on board with the bill. The renewable community was on board with the bill because of the great benefits it could provide for the increase in green jobs. And in fact, that has worked. It's actually worked too well, because we have the demand we have for the development of solar, for example, is greatly exceeds the ability of the state to facilitate these solar energy projects. That's one of the reasons we wanted to move forward with the Clean Energy Jobs Act. The demand is there. The companies are there, willing to invest in Illinois, wanting to invest in Illinois, but the infrastructure simply isn't in place to allow the development to occur. So that's one of the kind of overriding goals of this piece of legislation.
What do you mean by the infrastructure isn't there?
Well, for example, in the FEJA, which is the Future Energy Jobs Act, we provided for additional opportunities for solar developers. There was such interest in developing solar projects around the state that the Illinois Power Agency could only provide for, I think, 1 out of 8 projects. So we ended up in a lottery, if you will. So that means there are developers out there, large-scale developers that have projects nationwide that are ready and willing to develop in Illinois, but we need to make sure that we have the ability and the capacity to procure and allow that power to be developed. What we do in this current bill is a bit of a different approach. We address capacity by allowing Illinois to create its own capacity market for clean energy specifically. What happened is the federal level, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, provided for an opportunity to create capacity in each state. But the way their rules are structured, and certainly by design, they greatly favor fossil fuels. You can imagine why that might be. But the good news is, they allow Illinois and every other state to develop its own market. And what we would like to do in Illinois through the Clean Energy Jobs Act is to ensure that the rules in place in Illinois for the procurement of power incentivize clean energy. And that includes renewables, solar, wind, and nuclear is also considered clean.
And I want to ask you about nuclear, because Illinois is somewhat unique in the fact that it derives so much of its energy source from nuclear power. Where does that fit into this picture?
Well, I think you've been around Springfield long enough to know that these big comprehensive pieces of legislation in the energy world often require cooperation from both the generators, the energy distributors, and the environmental community. So this legislation will likely be something that we will all have to work on collaboratively. So energy, both fossil fuel plants and nuclear plants, the plants have limited shelf lives. Coal plants, I think even the coal producers and the CEOs of the big coal companies are using terms like inevitable to describe the way that the coal plants will be eventually being closed down. That's just the way it is. The plants have limited life. People are not building new coal plants for obvious reasons. They're inefficient to run. They're expensive to run. They're big polluters. And, you know, even the companies recognize those items. But what we do in the Clean Energy Jobs Act, both with nuclear and with coal plants over time, is instead of having these plants just close willy-nilly, leaving devastation in the communities they abruptly, you know, leave, we are planning and looking at energy and the production of energy in a long-term manner. So this will help the communities plan and prepare for the closure of these plants. And in exchange, there will be opportunities in the clean energy sector, training programming, which is already happening in the wake of the FEJA Act, Future Energy Jobs Act, to create these jobs in the communities where they have been negatively impacted. So for downstate, that's former coal communities where, you know, the coal mine was the main employer in town.
Don't we remember? Yeah. And as well as, big union jobs too, mm-hmm. which at good salaries, and the phasing out of that has already, you know, hurt so much of rural Illinois.
I think, you know, those entities, as well as labor, organized labor, as well as environmentalists, there's a really unique coalition here that can get back the development of renewable energy. Those wind farms, the solar farms, they take a lot of people power to build and to maintain. So it's not just kind of a one-off. You get some, you know, great opportunities to build. These plants can produce, you know, really thousands of jobs. And in fact, since the Future Energy Jobs Act was passed, we have become the second highest state in terms of growth of solar jobs in the whole country. So that's a real high number for Illinois, and really for any state.
A high number and a good number for once,
we'll take
about
it.
Illinois.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're speaking with Democratic State Representative Ann Williams from Chicago about the Clean Energy Jobs Act. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. . 7:51 on this Mother's Day Sunday morning. I'm Rick Pearson here in the Allstate Skyline Studio joined by Democratic State Representative Ann Williams of Chicago. She is a sponsor of the Clean Energy Jobs Act. We've been talking about these efforts, which are supported on Republicans, Democrats in the legislature, a bill to modernize our delivery of energy in this state. I want to ask you, there's been a kind of a kerfuffle in the news. We've talked a lot in this program about capital infrastructure and the need for an infrastructure bill, as well as the fact that, yeah, there's going to be some things like a gas tax increase likely, license plate fee increase likely. It's for transportation projects, it is like a user fee. But in one of the latest iterations of a bill to pay for roads and bridges and transportation projects is a proposal to raise the incentivized fee for all electric vehicles to $1,000 a year for a license plate. Obviously, I think there is a desire to try to capture some of the user fee experience for people that pay gas taxes and have gasoline-operated vehicles. But at the same time, $1,000 a year for a license plate at a time when all of the efforts have been to incentivize people to move to hybrids or to all-electric, that's a big chunk of change.
Yeah, that's pretty pricey. And I'm concerned. I see where the senator's going here, what his goal is, but I'm concerned about disincentivizing people to go to electric. We are doing everything we can in the Clean Energy Jobs Act to incentivize people, and not just people that have the means to purchase a $60,000-$70,000 electric car. We are looking to utilize, EV access for all is one of the programs that we have in this bill, and that would mean that people in all communities can access the opportunity to utilize electric vehicles instead of, what do they used to have, those cars that you would go
pick up drop-off.
Yeah, those type of cars. Why not put those in communities, low-income electrical vehicle car-sharing opportunities? Those are things that we're looking at. We want to make sure, and that's a central theme of this bill, is to make sure that all communities, all people in Illinois, all income levels can share in participating in this green economy. So this comes, out when we're talking about job training, but it also applies to the electric vehicle. We would like more people to acquire personal electric vehicles, too. And that $1,000 price tag is pretty, pretty scary.
$1,000 a year.
A year. A year. That deters my plans to get that dream Tesla.
Well,
postpone that a little bit longer.
And there are some people that say, well, if you can afford a Tesla, well, then what's $1,000 a year?
Well, we're hoping that the car manufacturers are looking at lower cost options to get more people into electric cars. I think part of the challenge, and this is a theme that we've noticed when lobbying legislators, is to just get comfortable of the idea we are going in the direction of electric vehicles. That's happening. And it's not just because we think it's a great idea and it's good for the planet. While that might be enough to get me to purchase an electric vehicle, it also is better for business. Their cars are efficient. They're just the wave of the future. And the same goes with renewable energy sources. Companies are opting to utilize renewable energy sources and put them on their rooftops and tap into energy efficiency programs, not because they are driven by the concern about climate change, although in some cases they are, they're driven by cost efficiency. The reality is solar and wind requires initial investment, like any energy generation tool. But over time, they are much less expensive to run, and energy then is much less expensive to produce.
Well, it's kind of like the recapture. There might be that initial outlay, but once you've done that, then it's a matter that you recapture the savings.
Exactly.
This kind of thing.
And if we're able to reduce capacity through energy efficiency and utilizing sources of energy that require less energy in the long run, we're going to save money too. So that's one component of the bill we haven't discussed, but that's an important theme too, is the initial investment is there. But once we get there, in the long run, this is good. We save power, we save money, and we save the planet in the process.
Is there a mass transit component to this?
Part of the electrification piece does impact mass transit, and we're hopeful that the fleets will go with cleaner fuel options and eventually go electric. And we're already seeing that happening, again, for the same reasons we've discussed. These are more fuel efficient. These are cheaper to run. The maintenance is not as difficult. And I think a lot of times, you know, governments, they want to be able to answer to constituents' concerns about climate change and carbon emissions. And this is one good way to do it.
Well, I mean, and going back to the license plate thing, too, and we're talking about Tesla, but you've got Rivian, which is located in Bloomington Normal, took over the old Mitsubishi plant there, which is gaining in investment from other automobile manufacturers. They're looking at electric truck production. You look at $1,000, and I don't know that that's really a good sign to show a new and growing kind of upstart company. This is what Illinois thinks of you.
Yeah, I'd rather work on some of the incentives. I think it's where we need to go. Of course, we need the generation to be cleaner than it is now. But I think when taken in tandem as a full package, we're really going in the right direction here.
So I talked about capital. Obviously, that's one of the several unsettled components going on in Springfield as we get closer to the May 31st scheduled adjournment date. I think I'm going to be emphasizing that word scheduled. Because after being after being,
I plan on coming home on June 1st.
I understand, and that may well be. It might be a matter of when you go back.
Sure.
As you well know, but I just get this sense that things are just greatly unsettled right now in Springfield.
I think you're right. There are a lot of very big, very important topics that are still being bantered around, and for anyone in the real world, 3 weeks doesn't seem like a lot of time. But in Springfield time, deadlines have a way of incentivizing people to make decisions and take positions. 3 weeks out, a lot of us are weighing options, considering alternatives. But every day that goes by that we get closer to adjournment, I think people begin to solidify on these issues, whether it's on updating the antiquated tax system with a graduated tax situation. Cannabis, of course, is a hot topic. Capital, and then, you know, we have some sports betting conversation and, you know, how to increase revenues there. And then, of course, I'd put clean jobs at the top of the list.
Understood. Understood. Democratic State Representative Ann Williams of Chicago, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you for having me.